Will Bank of England Governor Mark Carney still be dubbed Britain's unreliable boyfriend after a rate decision today? And how much would you pay for a piece of film history? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivian Nunes. Good morning. We start in China, where state media has denied reports that Google is about to re-enter the Chinese market by offering two online services that comply with Beijing's strict censorship laws. The BBC's Robin Brandt reports from Shanghai.
Google is not in China, not in the way it is pretty much everywhere else. There's no search engine. It pulled out in 2010 after deciding it would not comply with China's laws that restrict what people can see online. Google does, though, provide translation apps here, and rumours of its desire to increase its presence have been fuelled by a recent push into artificial intelligence. It set up new innovation labs in Beijing. Now there are reports citing internal documents that the company wants to release apps providing search and a news feed, both of which would adhere to China's regulations on censorship. The state-controlled financial newspaper Securities Daily said the claims do not conform to reality, and it has confirmed information that the return of Google to China is not true.
Robin Brandt. After the Federal Reserve opted to keep interest rates steady yesterday afternoon, it's the Bank of England's turn to deliver its own rate decision today. Britain's central bank is expected to raise the cost of borrowing by a quarter of a percentage point for only the second time in a decade. Yael Selfin, KPMG's chief UK economist, explains why policymakers here have waited so long.
We had relatively weak economic growth since the Great Recession. The recovery hasn't been that strong. And even though we've seen unemployment falling quite a lot, the underlying inflationary pressures associated with falling unemployment did not materialize. So the Bank of England chose to wait and support the economy a little bit more by not raising rates.
Some commentators are saying today would be a strange time to make borrowing more expensive, though, with uncertainty continuing around global trade wars and Brexit.
This has been trailed for so long that I think most expectations are for rates to go up today. On your question about whether this is the right moment, I'd say we always tend to have uncertainties, and it's really a question of trying to decide whether the economy is resilient enough to sustain that rise and whether the benefits of a rate rise outweigh the potential costs.
One of the arguments used for raising rates in the United States has been it gives the Federal Reserve more tools if there is a downturn in the economy there. Is that the kind of consideration that the Monetary Policy Committee is making in Britain as well?
Absolutely. If anything happened in the medium term, for example, if we had a relatively disorderly exit from the EU or trade wars became much more significant and impacted GDP growth much more, there'll be very limited room for the MPC to act with interest rate, which is its main tool. So therefore now precautionary rises a bit earlier on at still levels where household could potentially sustain them relatively well could work as an insurance policy.
Yael Selfin. Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are solidly lower amid resurfaced trade tensions between the US and China. Meanwhile, the Turkish lira hit a new record low against the US dollar, this after the Trump administration applied sanctions on two senior officials, a move aimed at pressuring the government to release an American pastor detained for 2 years. Do you consider yourself a film buff? Would you splash out on a piece of movie memorabilia? What if it cost as much as a house? Such items will be going under the hammer at an auction in London next month. I spoke to the man behind the sale, prop store CEO Stephen Lane.
Just sitting next to you there is none other than Harrison Ford's hat from Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark, and it has an auction estimate of £200,000 to £300,000. This particular piece actually came to us from a private collection. A collector in New York has owned it for a number of years. It's been gifted and sold and traded, and we managed to levy it out of his collection for our auction.
How do you source these objects, and how do you get in touch with people who have these and want to sell them?
Well, some of that is through the publicity of this auction. We'll make people aware that something they might have in their attic or their garage is actually valuable. We're constantly trying to source from crew members and individuals who work within the film industry. And then we work hand in hand with film productions and distributors too.
Yeah, I recognise this Stormtrooper's helmet. I can't believe it's a real one from the Star Wars franchise.
It is. This is from Star Wars The Last Jedi. And this particular item, we're not charging fees. This has been donated by Lucasfilm to charity, and we're selling it on their behalf. It has an estimate of £30,000 to £50,000.
I can also see a Wonka bar. I guess there's no chocolate in it.
No chocolate. It's made of compressed cardboard, so please don't try eating it. This is from the 1971 film starring Gene Wilder.
And who buys these objects at auctions like the one you're having next month? Is it investors hoping to make a profit, or is it just film buffs?
Well, we've had a huge amount of growth in the marketplace over the last 15 to 20 years. The spend within the market, we estimate, has increased from about $30 to $40 million to more like $300 to $400 million per annum over that period. So we've seen a massive rise in the prices and the values. And so, yeah, absolutely, we have collectors and diehard film fans who are going after this stuff. But we're also seeing institutions, we're seeing museums, and we're seeing investors step into the market as well and speculating.
And Stephen, you're CEO of this company, Prop Store. Do you have any of these items at home?
I do. I'm a mad Star Wars fan, so I have a couple of collection rooms full of Star Wars props and costumes. It's just really a hobby that went madly out of control. When I first started the company, it was just me. I didn't anticipate hiring anybody. I now have a 12,000 square foot facility in London, a 20,000 square foot facility in Valencia and Los Angeles, and we employ 55 people.
Prop Store CEO Stephen Lane. And finally, in a bid to reduce overwork, the Japanese government is encouraging firms to allow their staff to sleep in and take Monday morning off once a month. In London, I'm Vivienne Nunes with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.